Amen.
Well, I want to welcome everyone that's here. I want to welcome all everyone that is over in the internet and listening either recorded or live. And I'm here with Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim, and this is our roundtable discussion on a Wednesday night. And this evening, we came to the conclusion that we would like to kind of elaborate on what was taking place on Sunday, and kind of, I guess the theme would be "Come as You Are," and how God is really not looking for you to change, but He wants you just the way you are. And we'll get into this a little bit more. I'm going to ask my sound guy up there, who's running the booth, Mr. Jim Franklin. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Mr. Jim Franklin. Yeah. Yo, Jimmy boy, give me some beefy noise on this mic. I want to hear some amps. Boom. Crank me up. Yeah, there you go. I got some amps. I want to hear some more amperage. Boom, 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 boom. That's good. That's good. All right, amen. So, you know, when God says, come as you are, you know, God has called Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim and Pastor Kurt and myself into ministry, and we've been ministering now in ministry for almost 17-18 years, and you know, we can really say it happened at 9/11 or what have you. That's a good time frame when we can say, because that's when Pastor Kurt walked through the door, and he was like the period on the us four, and then the ministry was birthed. But you know, I want to say to those that are out there listening and those that are here, God wants His people back. God wants His people. And there's a dark lie out there that is saying you're not worthy to come or you have to change. And God is saying, I don't want you to change. I want you simple, and I want you just the way you are. I just, you know, He loves us. And I am in love with God because He first loved me, and He changed me. And, you know, you can see I haven't changed, you know. I want the raw, rugged, rough. I want the dirty. I want to eat with the wine bibbers and the taxpayers and the prostitutes. I want them all. I want the drug addicts. I want them all. You know, Jesus, when He came, He said, I didn't come for the sick. I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick. Now, I'm not looking for hopeless. I'm not looking for those people. I'm looking for the people who just are honest with themselves, and they know that there's something different in life. And I want all that life has for me. That's the ones I want. I don't want the ones who think they already got it. I don't want the ones who think that, you know, they know everything. You know, I want the ones who are saying, you know what? I know there's more out there for me. I know that there's more out there for me, and I know there's something more, and, you know, I want it. I want life. I want it. I want something. And, you know, that's the pull on your heart that God is pulling, because that's what gets you to really seek. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, Sunday, we spoke a message about sin. And I don't think anyone really knows what sin is. You know, Pastor Tim and I were talking earlier, and he said, we're all holy. And he's absolutely right. You're right. We're all holy. We are none of us are with sin. But we have sin. Sin dwells in us. Yep. It's not like we're sinners. Right. Sin dwells in us.
Like it hangs on you.
Yeah, it hangs on you like a leech or something. Yeah. You know, like a bad wart.
Always enticing you with the carrot. You know?
Got to get rid of the warts. And what it is it's a passionate desire that kind of rules your attitude or emotion or disposition, and it kind of controls you in a sense. And it could be anything. It could be Could be gossip. It could be nosebody. What, a newsy body?
Nosy body.
It could be someone who has a lot of judgments and just constantly pointing fingers at people and judging. It could be a gambling, drinking, something that, like, consumes you
something
and you can't control yourself.
Yeah.
Like, we mentioned in the message that all things are good, but not all things are edifying. So, for example, let's say I want to go gamble. And let's say somebody, you know, one of my friends, he can't seem to say no. He's got to spend his last dollar, you know, and then borrow another dollar, you know, where I wouldn't take him gambling, you know, because he has sin.
Yeah.
He has sin
it's
in
a
his
problem in his life.
That sin is dwelling in him,
yeah.
You know, where me, I can walk away. You know, I don't there's no sin in me as far as gambling. And that's just a minor, quick example of sin. All things are good. And I want those that are listening to be able to know that we here at Glory to the Nations, we have a place called the Glory Barn. And we're building this place. We're going to build it. We want people to come.
One person at a time.
One person at a time. And then you can bring your friends.
Yeah.
But we do. We want to build it. We want to build it. And we want to build it with people who want to know God, period, and want a life. If you're here to criticize or if you want to come and try to change us or try to be in leadership or try to do anything like that, it's not going to happen. But you can serve.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. You can serve.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, we want people that want to know God and want a life. Because that's what we're all about. We're all about introducing you to God so that you can have a relationship with God. And in the midst of that, he will move you, direct you, guide you, and he will give you a life. And then you'll come into things far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. You'll do things that you never even thought you would be able to do. You'll have opportunities that you never thought you would ever have it. But what's beautiful is those things that God will reveal in you is what's been in you for since the day you were born. They were just buried. And we want to resurrect that life that's inside of you and get you to have those things that, you know, you really always long to love. It's almost like you, deep inside of you, you love peanut butter. And,
I love peanut butter.
You know, you heard that to have peanut butter, it's almost impossible to get it. You can't have it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then eventually you realized that you can have peanut butter. And it tastes really good. And you love it. And now you're just, like, so happy because you got to eat some peanut butter. You know, there's things that are buried deep inside of us that we have no idea that are there. And we have no idea that they are even possible to obtain. But God has given us the ability and the power to unfold and bring that out.
Yeah, it's like his passions that he placed inside your heart are there, then they're covered up because maybe they were just beaten down over the years by life and they lost total hope that these things would even come about and they forgot about them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come to God and you're just, look, before we went on the air tonight, we were just talking about how God's eyes go to and throw throughout the whole earth looking for that broken, contrite heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll leave 99 people to go after one person.
Mm.
And we were talking about the fact that we look at Christianity and all these different religions out there, and there's a lot of people that have a false humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say they're broken, they say that life beat them up, but there's still pride evident in their life, and they still won't totally surrender themselves and say, okay, God, what's next?
Really willing to lay themselves down and take that chance.
Take the chance.
You know, to take that risk or take that chance, because that risk and chance is still within their own strength,
yep,
not with the strength of God.
Right.
And this is what we build. We build the power of God in your life. And, you know, you said something earlier a little bit that caught me, and I just lost it for a second, but it'll come back to me. I know it will. Because I believe that there are a lot of people out there that are really looking for a life and looking for God, but they feel as though that they have to change.
Yes.
And this is what Sam wants to hit on.
Well, a lot of times, like Pastor was saying, there's desires inside of you that, listen, religion says touch not, taste not, don't do this, don't do that. And a lot of times you go to a church or a religion and they're telling you what not to do. You can't do this. You got to stop this. Maybe you like doing things. Maybe there's some desires in you that you don't think are wrong, but people can't handle. Well, that's a personal thing between you and God. You know, he says, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He doesn't say, clean yourself up and bring me a pure vessel that I can wear. He says, no, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all of you who are beat up, sick and tired, and had enough. Because, you know, we were talking earlier, it's hard to change. It's really hard to change your habits if you don't have truth or want to change the way you think. Habits will overtake you, and you just get into habits that, you know, you could have a habit of watching 12 hours of TV a day. That's your habit. But, you know, what we're saying here is this place is a place of freedom. We're never going to tell you stop doing what you're doing. We're going to say, come to me. If you drink 20 beers a day, come in. If you snort two lines, smoke weed, we don't care. We want you. And we're not worried about what you do. We're worried about how you think. We're not worried about what you do. We're more concerned with making sure you're thinking right, making sure you have peace and joy. Eventually, your desires will change as you go forward with this truth. But as of right now, come unto me, all you're weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, he's offering that to us.
It's a thunderstorm out there. No threats. It's okay. Anyhow, we got to hold our mic like this, firm.
Boom.
So, with all that being said, come as you are. You know, one of the things is let's get back where religion and churches and whatever, they make you feel like you got to cut your hair. You can't have long hair.
They put guilt.
They use guilt and shame and make you feel dirty.
Exactly right. The difference between God and religion is this. In religion, you feel guilty and unworthy to the point where I can't go to church because people are going to judge me and I just feel like I'm not worthy. Whereas God says, no, come as you are. I love you the way you are because you're unique, and he made every single person and put everything inside of you.
That's right.
It's a part of him. And that's why he's saying, I accept you for who you are because I made you.
That's right.
Whereas religion is trying to conform you. There's
religion
a big difference.
Religion makes you feel guilty for who you are.
Correct.
It makes you feel guilty for having the desires you have and being who you are. And that's what we don't. We set you free. We say, come and be you. And be you any way you want to be. We don't care.
Correct.
It's freedom.
Yep. It's truth. Yep. And one of the things is, you know, when you feel that you have to change, nobody wants to go to a place that makes you feel like you got to change.
That doesn't like you for who you are.
Correct.
Right.
They don't accept you for who you are.
Now, there are places that'll say, hey, come as you are. But when you get there, they start laying all these rules and regulations on you.
Quit smoking, man. That's
the dissection group comes in.
Don't you know that that's bad for you and all?
Right.
But, you know, I used to say this a while back. I said, you know, it doesn't matter when you build a relationship with God, then you want to please him because you see all the things that God does for you. You see the miracles begin to happen. You see the signs and the wonders begin to happen. You know, like, for instance, you come. There's many people who have came into this place, got their wish list, you know, and then and ends up leaving the relationship.
Because they got what they wanted. They got their little fix.
Yep, they got what they wanted.
They didn't get the fullness. Yeah. They only got a fix.
And but the crazy thing is this is almost like the abundance of God's love. You know, he's not a respecter of person. They come back again, they get their wish list again.
Exactly right.
You know, and it's a repetitive thing. But
That's how much he loves.
Yeah, he loves us.
Yeah.
But they in between the wish list, there has been a lot of suffering and pain.
Sure. Sure.
You don't have to go through that suffering and pain when you have him in your life all the time.
Correct.
Now, you can have God in your life, get your wish list, still attend, and but yet don't have God in your life, just like you never came through the front door.
True.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, you get your wish list again. All of a sudden, you feel like you're coming, but you didn't come through the front door. You follow what I'm saying?
It's like you're using your partner.
Yeah.
You know, you get your fix, And then you leave that person like for a drug while, dealer. And you go
it's
back
like,
to
it's
that
like,
person.
It's like your drug dealer.
Exactly.
You go to your drug dealer, you get what you need, you go back. And when you run out of drugs, in the meantime, you get miserable until you see your drug dealer again.
Right.
So you run out of your drugs, and you get miserable, and you go back to your drug dealer and get another fix, and you get miserable again, and you run out, and you go back, and it's like a vicious cycle. It never stops.
It's not life.
And your drug dealer is your best friend.
He's your best friend. He's your best savior. Friend. He becomes your God.
That's yep. if you're on drugs. But
or your local alcohol guy, whatever.
But having a life with God is actually fun. You don't have to feel as though that you're going to lose a life that you have already to come to God. You right. can still have your life. You can still do what you're doing. All we want to do is build a relationship with an unknown God so that when you do begin to start following the truth of this relationship and how to have a relationship with God, your life begins to alter and begin to change. You begin to start realizing certain things. The truth is what sets you free. True. When we share how to have a relationship with God, we teach you and train you and show you how to have a relationship with God. As you apply these principles of having a relationship with God, you begin to know God. And then your mind alters and changes, and your heart begins to settle and have peace because you begin to overcome a lot of powers and principalities. These powers are influences of to create misery in your heart, to create depression in your heart. It causes you to feel upset and lonely. It alters your mind and makes you think. I mean, these powers are real out there. And we've lived and grown up all our lives with them that we don't even realize that they're influencing our thought patterns until someone says, hey, thinking the way you're thinking is not good. You need to stop thinking this way and just put your trust and faith and believe that God's going to work things all right. And then when you surrender your thoughts and you begin to say, okay, God, I'm going to surrender these thoughts. Please help me to surrender these thoughts. He really does come in and start altering and changing their circumstances.
Absolutely.
Now, these problems are always going to exist. I mean, I'm looking at certain things that I just don't want to look at right now. I'm asking God, please give me a little bit more strength so I can deal with it. I really can't deal with this right now. And, you know, a day or two will go by and eventually I'll have the strength to face it. And then I face it, and here it ends up turning out not as bad as it. I thought it was going to be. But this is how the relationship works. And, you know, this is what we want in people's lives. What saddens all of our hearts, and I feel I'm going to speak for the two pastors here, is that we see people getting deceived. We see them getting duped. They are coming into a building looking for change, and all they are is getting programs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not getting any life-altering changes for themselves. They might, you know, find a couple of new friends or what have you, but their circumstances and their thought patterns aren't changing, and so their hearts aren't being changed. And then they submit to rules and regulations, and they tell them, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to do this, and you have to do that. And then they develop a lot of judgments because they once did that, and they weren't allowed to do that, and now they've stopped doing that, and they're angry at the people that are doing it, so now they're judging, saying you can't be doing this.
And the worst part of all is they don't introduce you to God. Yeah. They don't do anything at all to help your relationship with God. They don't do anything at all. God is living. He is living. And he is the Prince of Peace. He is joy unspeakable. You know, when we first came to this ministry, I couldn't get off that floor. There's a peace and a joy that overtook me and started dealing with all my insecurities, all my anxiety, all my craziness that I brought in here. Just being in this place and starting to get into the presence here, there's a presence. There's a peace and a joy that you can cultivate, that you can keep all the time. And I never realized that. And here's where I found that. And that peace and joy will bring you out of all the misery that you're in. Will give you the power to overcome. Because if you don't have peace and joy, you got nothing. God is a God of power. He's not a God of the church or the word. He is a God of power. And if you're not experiencing that powerful God in your church, you better step back and take a look and say, well, you know, where's he at in here? You know, where is God? Where's God in here? Where is he manifesting? Where's my peace? Where's my joy I'm supposed to have if I'm following God? But it's here, you know?
And here's another benefit of coming into a relationship with God and knowing a good, wholesome ministry like this one is because, look, we all need instruction.
Correct.
Yep. We all need guidance. You know, you reach a certain age, and you still need a father. You still need a parent, so to say, in your life. You know, you still need a counsel. You still need guidance. You still need to be directed and structured. I just the other day I saw a young couple, and you know they have children, and you know they're children, too.
Yep.
And they're trying to raise children. And it's like children raising children, and they're in a world that are completely lost. Yep. And I'm saying to myself, my God, we have a world that are just like children raising children that are raising children that are raising children. And to have a relationship with God and a ministry that is well grounded and rooted in truth and structure, in sensible structure, I want to call it, not rules and regulations. I'm talking about practical life structuring,
yep,
guidance.
Yep.
You know, how to treat somebody. You know, would you want to be treated that way? How to have respect and how to show respect, those kind of things. I mean, honorable morals and you know, just a conduct of life. I mean, that all comes with a relationship with God. And when you show yourself this way, you are well liked out there in the world, and in the world, you know, you're gonna be approved, so to say.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that just have bad attitudes. Yeah. It's just like, why do you feel as though that you're owed something?
Yeah.
Why do you feel as though that you have this attitude? Where do you think you entitled
yep
with this attitude? Yep. So the relationship with God shows you humility, shows you that you really don't deserve much, but yet you deserve it in a way. Why not? Can't you have it? Yep. But at the same time, you don't deserve it, you see?
When you show obedience to God, it's actually showing him worship. That's when he blesses you. That's when he gives it to you and says, you know what? Now I want to honor you and bless you because you're honoring me.
That's all.
It's a two-way street. That's it.
He wants to be aware of him.
Be aware of him. Exactly right.
You know, and also, you know, Pastor was talking earlier about counsel. And, you know, how many of us every day go through burdens of decisions? Hard decisions, not just easy ones, but hard ones. And you'll go to everybody in the world to get advice. You go to this guy and this guy and this guy and this person, and they're a mess. But you're asking them for advice because you don't know what to do. Deep in your heart, you're confused, and you're tossed to and fro with every direction of this decision. You know, but here, you bring the decision to us. You know, basically, we don't know anything that's going to happen. We can give you what the Spirit's saying. We can give you the insights. We see your heart, and we build on that. You know, we're here to help you, you know, because decisions every day will kill you. Every day we have decisions to make. Yeah. And the ones that you don't know about, the ones that we can't figure out, are the ones that torment us and can't sleep at night, don't have any peace, don't have any rest. So, but here, you will get truth, you know?
You know, I just want to elaborate on something. There's a misconception out there as far as who God is. Two things that he's not. One, he's not obligation. God is not going to obligate anyone.
That's
because he brings you according to free will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you either take him or leave him.
Take him or leave him. Right. Even though he wants that relationship with you, he's not going to force you into a relationship.
Exactly right.
The second thing that God.
But at the same time, when you do embrace his relationship.
When you do. Yeah.
It's like a rich man giving you everything he has.
Correct.
You see, he has an abundance beyond what he can give you. Or ask.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of
that bond slave. It's that bond servant.
It's the bond. It's absolutely the bond servant, correct. The other thing, too, is you know, when you come into a relationship with God, there's a lot of people out there that they take God for granted, you know, and exactly. And God isn't, you know, one thing people think is, if I come to God, all my problems are going to go away.
No.
That's far from the truth.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Okay? God is there. He's going to lead you through the problems with peace, and joy, and righteousness if you trust him.
That's
the difference, because everybody through this life is going to have issues. They're going to have trials. They're going to have life situations that, you know, look like with despair. But with God with you and God in you, you're going to be okay because he will lead you through it.
Right.
He will guide you through it. That's where his strength comes, and it's a power. And it's a power of peace, joy, and righteousness to get you through the situation.
Yep.
And he'll give you his grace, which is his revelation, his knowledge, to get you through the circumstances to where you're not going to get burnt.
Yeah, and you know, we're here to help you get that grace,
correct.
You know, to be able to instruct you. Everyone needs a teacher in their life. Everybody
does. Yeah.
You know, I don't care how old you are. I know some older people that sometimes I say to myself, why are you thinking this way? You see?
Didn't you learn anything your whole life? Did you learn nothing?
But they need a teacher.
80 years old, yeah.
They need a teacher.
Yeah.
They need guidance.
Correct.
They need structure. You know, you're never too old, and yet we always know that we're always too young. We need structure.
Yes.
We need guidance. We need direction.
You need to know somebody cares.
We need, that someone cares. And, you know, without that, you're alone. You're lost.
That's exactly right.
And like Pastor Sam said earlier, you know, you're asking for guidance. You're asking for someone's opinion. And they may not be really caring enough to even care.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
They don't care what's going to happen with you. And they might. They might give you some decent instruction.
Misery loves company, though.
But, you know, it's.
Is it godly wisdom?
Yeah, then it also goes to this: there is an eternal life. There is an afterlife that we are going to have to be responsible. There's a verse that has been ringing in my ear, and it says, God says, get away from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And that worker of iniquity, we're beginning to define it, and we're starting to understand that, you know, that worker of iniquity could just be not repenting in that area of your passionate desires.
Correct.
And you're birthing sin in your life, and you're like in an emotional hot mess birthing these sins, and you're just working iniquity. And they say to God, but Lord, Lord, you know, they're crying out. So obviously they somewhat had a relationship. And I look at it as the Millennium Church today. You know, there are probably people who are going to these places, and they're over here saying, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name.
According to the scriptures, it said cast out devils.
It's that same self-entitlement attitude. It's that same thing of we're owed.
Yeah, we're owed.
And there isn't a gratefulness. There's not. They're always looking for what they don't have. They're always looking to attain. They're not grateful for anything they have.
Well, when I hear the cry of a heart, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name.
Could have been the lust.
And then he turns around and says, get away from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. You know, that hits hard in my heart. And, you know, we're really going to know this when we leave this earthly body. When we leave this earthly body, that's when we'll really know the truth. You know, I mean, I know the truth.
Yeah.
I know it. I have a strong conviction in my heart that I don't want to hear those words.
Yeah.
But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Now, they are not going to be coming out of his mouth. I know it. I know that with a strong conviction in my heart. But I have to ask others who may have. I was speaking to a woman not too long ago. And she was saying, you know, I really love to hear what you have to say. I hear what you're saying, and I really love what you got to say. But I've been going to this church now for a long time, and I kind of have my roots in this place, and I don't want to leave. I feel bad to leave. Is she going to be one of those? But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name, but get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You know, we get into these patterns and habits and traditions, and we get in our comfort zones, and, you know, we got to be careful about our comfort zones.
Correct.
And because I've tended this for, you know,
they feel stuck because they're obligated for all those years she put into this.
Definition of insanity is what?
Doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results.
Your life's never going to change until you change the way you think. And changing the way you think usually changes your direction in life.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. You're not going to change the way you're not going to change until you change the way you think and start doing things differently. Can't do the same thing over and over every day or every week or every year. Expect your life to change. It's not going to change. You have to make the change. You have to take a step.
Right. Like the patterns, like you're saying. I mean, they get stuck in those patterns, and they feel like they must continue to do it because they're letting this person down or letting this church down or whatever. Meanwhile, God's saying, but the truth is here. Here's the truth. And
they're giving
their heart's convicted to go to this truth.
Well, they're giving them milk every day. Milk, 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 milk. And their heart is crying out for meat.
Yes.
They want to know them more. They want to know more. They want to know truth more. They want to know. They want to know. But on the other end, well, I don't want to make so-and-so upset.
That's right.
And I don't want to, you know.
Shame and guilt.
I have friends that are attending there and. You know, and I've been here for a while, and I'm actually part of the, you know, board or what have you. And all.
You know, this scripture verse just came to me. You know, it says in the Bible, you need to forsake your friends, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, for that truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because this all we got when we leave this earth is we're judged on the truth that we apply it.
Mm-hmm. How about for a life?
Forsake
it all for a life.
Yeah.
You know one thing. You know if you have a life or you don't have a life. You know if you're truly living or you're just surviving. You're just getting by. You got to realize that there's a life for you out there. That just getting by ain't cutting it no more. It brings you into a place of depression, of tiredness, of complaining, of anxiety. There's a life for you out there, and it's beyond anything you could ever ask or imagine. There's peace beyond all understanding. There's joy unspeakable and full of gladness. We have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, in this ministry, my life is exciting. We laugh every day. We laugh, and we have joy. We have peace. If you're just merely surviving, you ain't living. You're just trying to get through another day. Oh, only a few more years till I retire. Oh, a few more years till I die. That's what you're thinking. You're looking forward to death. You're not looking forward to tomorrow. There's no awareness in the here and now. That you escape reality. There's no joy in the moment. There is none.
You know, we can't offer you the riches of this world. We don't have lots of money. We don't have lots of possessions. But what we do have is what everybody wants. It's peace, joy, and righteousness. Because that's what God wants to offer
and
you.
And a purpose.
And a purpose.
And
a life.
Purpose.
And a life.
And a family. And a family that wants to help you.
Yeah.
And have you attain everything God has for you.
Yes.
Who actually cares.
Yeah.
And not full of judgment.
No.
Right.
And wants nothing from you
because
except
honestly,
for your peace.
We don't care who you are.
You mean not
you
like
are.
Out of beer, out of here?
Uh-uh. We don't want your money.
Look,
we just want you.
We don't care who you are, what you do, who you do, what we do. It doesn't matter to us.
Nope.
But what matters is that you come to the fullness of what God has in store for your life.
It matters that you want to change.
Yep.
If you want to change, then we are excited for you. If you don't want to change, then we can't do anything for you.
You know what it kind of comes down to it?
Yeah.
Remember when you were younger and you were hanging out with a crowd, you were in your 20s or what have you, and you were growing up.
Yep.
And you realized that the crowd that you were hanging with, you weren't going nowhere.
They don't want to grow up.
And you had to make a decision to break away.
Yep.
You had to come to a point of saying, if I could continue to hang out with this crowd, I'm going nowhere.
With them.
I got to go get myself a real job.
Yep.
I got to stop staying out till 5 o'clock in the morning. I got to, start prioritizing my life and start saying no to some things and start searching for others. This is, I guess, the cry that is being said right now. you got to look and reevaluate your life and say to yourself, are you ready to leave the crowd? Are you ready to grow up? And you ready to look for your, start your life now? Are you ready? You know, I know several people that know this ministry, and I say to myself, why don't they take this choice? Why don't they choose this place? I don't understand. What is it? We're all good people here. We all show a lot of love. What is it? Why is it that they just don't choose to make an effort to come out and be a part?
Because people are slaves to bad habits as long as they have provisions.
It's deeper than that.
That's the main thing. People get caught in habits, and they get used to their habits. They get used to having this church group every week. But like
maybe they don't have a church. Maybe they don't go nowhere.
Well, how about this? Look at who you're surrounded with.
Maybe they just like their days off and sleep.
Well, look at who you surround yourself with.
People are afraid of change, and they feel like if they come fully to God, they're going to have to change.
And they might lose what... Yeah.
And they're going
to
lose...
Or maybe they don't think they need to change. Maybe they think in their minds that they got it all going on, and they know what's happening, and they don't need any help.
There's a lot of people out there, and that's just pride that's kind of...
But the one thing they don't
make
have
them delusional.
Is peace and joy. Right. They can think all they want to think, but they know deep down if they have peace or joy, or they're tormented every day of their lives, or they're worried, or they have anxiety, or they have anger, or they have fear. You know what's ruling your life. You know what occupies you most of the day. And if it's not peace and joy and happiness...
You think they're really honest with themselves?
That's why we're telling them.
I think they're deceived. Yes. I think they're full of deception. I think of the fact that they might even judge... They could be full of judgment. Maybe they're judging.
Well, if you're saying they're deceived.
Maybe they're judging this place.
If you're saying they're deceived. Then
even though we're nice and kind and full of love, maybe they're judging the place. Maybe they got full of judgments.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's sad. It's sad is what I'm saying. I know we got listeners that are listening. And people may not even come to this place. They probably don't even know us. But I want them to hear our hearts. Find out what the deal is, like what's going on out there, you know, what's happening. I hope and pray that they begin to start making a choice in their own lives. It's time to grow up. It's like being in your 20s and you got a new group that you have to say, am I going to continue to live my life? When I met that woman not too long ago, I think it was what?
4 weeks ago.
About four weeks ago, maybe. Remember that woman around the corner there? About 4 weeks ago, man, when she said that, it reminded me of that group. Like I'm hanging out with my 20-year-old friends, and I just don't want to leave them behind. But I know that there's something else better out there. But I'm just gonna hang out with my group. I'm gonna hang out with my friends. You know,
it's like a gang in a city. Guy comes to a knowledge of God, and it's tugging at his heartstrings to leave that gang, and he's like, but they're my boys. I can't turn my back on them. We've been through so much together, you know, and they feel obligated to stay with them, even though he's getting into trouble, and there's pretty much no way out unless he does walk away from it to find a life. And then later on he ends up in jail because he didn't follow that conviction to leave. He ends up in jail, and that's what's happening to the people out there. God's pulling at their heartstring to change their life, yet they don't want to leave that old life.
Correct.
You know, it's something they're familiar with it. They're afraid of what people are going to think and what they're going to say, and they're afraid of the unknown. But God's saying no.
There has to be a reason why they have to change. They have to have a reason within them why they have to change. There's no reason why they change. They're not going to change. It's never going to change.
Yeah.
And that's why they said only a handful will enter in. So why does the road lead to destruction? Now is the road to everlasting life, and few there are that find it. Because people are slaves to their lives. People are slaves to bad habits. People don't want to change. And that's just the way it is.
Well, they're not the ones we want.
But
I'm almost getting to the point where, you know how the floods came?
Yeah.
And God shut the door on Noah's Ark. Just kind of shut the door. And they clawed at the door wanting to come in. I feel at this point that's where we're at. Only the serious ones. Like there was a gentleman not too long ago. I'll be there on Wednesday, and I'll be there on Sunday. I'm almost ready to say, you know what?
Forget about it.
There's the door. Turn around. You missed your opportunity. Go. Go.
it's coming down to that time. I believe we're living in an age that God is saying, I'm about done.
It's not he's about done. People have people.
I think
don't
he's
want,
about done.
People don't want hope anymore. They,
I'm
they,
not
they
even
really
going. I'm not even going to put the pressure on the people.
It, you know what well, why would and, it, why would his heart harden if they weren't hardening? He wouldn't harden his heart to people who still wanted it.
No, no, he won't. That's so, what I said. The door's open for those who want it. The door's
exactly.
The door's closing for those who don't want
exactly,
it.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying.
Well, then he's weeding out the serious ones from the ones that are just half stepping.
I think that's what's happening in this hour.
Yeah,
I really do. And I feel bad for the ones who are playing the game. What's that one verse where God says, find me one righteous person in the city, and
that
I won't destroy it?
That was Lot back
then. Yeah, what actually was happening with that situation?
Well,
he said,
Lot was
give me ten people.
Abraham was doing was talking to God, and Abraham said to God, Lot, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? Will you spare it I think it was 100 first.
Yeah,
if we find 100,
a lot
if we find 100 men who are righteous, will you spare the city? And God was like, okay, I'll spare the city. And then God's like, there ain't 100. And Lot was like, well, what if we find 50? And God's like, okay, there ain't 50. What if we find 20? What if we find 10? What if we find one that's righteous? And God said, there's not one righteous in the whole city.
And then what happened?
He destroyed the whole city.
Could it be that history repeats itself?
Yeah.
Could we be the ones who are like the last voice crying in the wilderness?
Well, he said there's no sign given other than Jonah the prophet, and Jonah was the one who went to Nineveh and told the largest city of all existence back in the day, Nineveh, which is the biggest city ever. He said, "Listen, God's saying repent or destroy your city." And that king listened and caused a fast in that whole entire city, and they repented and they were saved.
And they were saved.
That's a different, yeah, yeah. Because then that's when they listened to the voice of God.
They hearkened unto it.
And look at the character of God.
He would have saved it for one person.
God would have saved it for one righteous person.
Yep.
The whole
city.
And then yet at the same time, if you can't find one, what did he do? He destroyed the whole city.
Destroyed it.
You know, we're living in some really serious times right now. I quoted in the past, and pastors are witnesses, because I always speak to them first before I really say anything publicly, because, you know, you have to do that. But there's plagues coming on the earth.
Yep.
I quoted that there was about four or five plagues that were coming,
four
plagues. And the first plague that was coming on the earth was hatred.
Yep.
And it's rampant. The second plague that is coming on the earth is wars and rumors of wars.
Correct.
And if you look at what's happening right now,
all over the world,
we got wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be another war. We got another war coming.
The whole world is at war with terrorism right now. The whole world.
The whole world. Let's move past. Yeah.
Hello.
That's the next one.
Yep.
And that's going to start another war. That's going to start another war.
Yep.
We're going to another war.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the third one that we've seen glimpse of is diseases.
Yes.
Or chemical warfare, which turns out to be that plague of, chemical deterioration or whatever. Then the next one is going to be contamination, where the fields and the crops and the animals are all going to get contaminated.
And we already are seeing that with the Pacific Ocean, because that nuclear reactor that went down about 7 years ago in Japan is still leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying it's wiping out the fish population in the Pacific Ocean already.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So it's already starting.
And then now you got this last one, which then is going to affect mankind through starvation, famine.
Yep.
You know, this is, you know, the seals are being opened.
Yep.
And we want to stick our heads in the sand and not really be aware of what's happening. And I truly believe that we are like the last of those who are really sincere of getting people to have a relationship with God.
Yep.
For this, it's almost like the last shot in the arm before it's over. Boom. Now,
there might be some believers out there that are saying, you know what, better listen. There's probably a lot of naysayers out there, too, that are saying, yeah, we've been hearing this forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and yada, 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 yada. You know what? I come to the conclusion, though, that only God opens up eyes and opens up ears.
Correct.
And gets those individuals to hear. But let's speed up time.
Yep.
And let's say that all of a sudden these things do begin to happen. And then God closes the heart on those who had an opportunity to come in.
And didn't.
Yeah.
And didn't.
Yep.
Now, you had the opportunity to come, and you came in. And you have that relationship with God.
Yep.
But then you got someone that's close to you, who you love like a son or a brother or a daughter or a mother, you know?
Girlfriend, wife, husband.
Wife. And they didn't.
Yep.
And then you just watch them perish, decay, get caught up in the starvation, get caught up where God's people will be protected.
Yeah.
Yep.
I truly believe that God's people are going to be comforted and protected, have wisdom, have direction,
yep.
guidance,
heavenly providence too. He's going to provide, because we talked about this a couple years ago.
Because if you look back in the Bible, and the Bible is really the only book that I know that is true scripture.
Yep.
And if you look back, God always made a way before he destroyed anything for those who were the people of God.
Yeah.
Noah built the ark. Lot was able to leave Sodom
with his family.
He said, don't turn back.
His wife turned back.
His wife turned back.
Moses parted the Red Sea. Hey,
yeah, but let's get back to Lot for a second before we hit Moses. Because Lot had a relationship with God and listened.
Yes.
His wife didn't.
Nope. She turned back and got turned into the
She had an opportunity to leave.
Yeah. And she had an opportunity not to turn back and be okay.
Yep.
But she chose to turn back.
She turned to back. That could be happening too.
Yes.
In this hour.
Yeah.
There might be some who will say, hey, I'm coming in, and then they turn their back and they go right back. I would hate to see people that have given their heart to this truth and then went back to their old way.
Yeah.
Still here, but giving their heart back to their old ways.
They're not hearts fully, not they're in not fully it. Here.
They're yeah, not fully they're not fully here.
They're half committed.
Yeah.
Well, you made a thing earlier today, too. We were talking and said, there's a scripture verse that says there's 144,000 that are chosen by God, you know, and that's in Revelations. And think about all the different religions. There's millions and millions of people thinking that they know God. And he's saying 144,000 because he says, wide is the road that leads to destruction and narrow is the one that you find life.
Leads to eternal life. Yep.
So he's saying out of all these billions of people, 144,000.
Yeah, and that might sound ridiculous, but if you look at today and look at what we're actually bleeding our hearts.
Yeah.
We're bleeding. And the only message that we're really bleeding is come and know God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really the core.
That's what it is.
Bleeding message that we are crying out. Please, have a relationship with God.
Because we have had some of the ones you talked about earlier who've come in here, even in this place, and did not repent, did not change the way they were thinking.
Yep.
If the whole reason we're here...
Never had a relationship with God. Because, repentance comes through relationship with God. When you have a relationship with God, he alters your thoughts, he alters your heart's patterns.
Correct.
And that's where true repentance comes through. We can't repent.
That's right.
Repentance
is a gift.
Yeah, repentance.
Based on the fruit that you get from following truth.
Exactly right.
That's where repentance comes in. When you follow truth, when you apply the truth that we preach in here, we preach a lot of truth in here. We have hundreds and hundreds of messages in here of truth upon truth, keys. And when you apply those things and you have fruit like self-control, like peace, like keeping yourself at peace, the only thing you control in this world is you. And you realize that, that's half the battle. You can't control anything else but you, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids, not your job, not your car, nothing. You can control yourself. But when you have self-control, you make sure you have peace. You make sure you're always in the truth and not believing the lies. That's how you get fruit. And once you start producing fruit, God grants you repentance. And that's how it works every time.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having a relationship with God is no different than having a relationship with your spouse.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
You talk to him just like you're talking to your spouse. Sure. You talk to him just like you're talking to your children. You know, your children talk just like you're talking to your parents.
Correct.
I mean, you don't have to be, like, super spiritually aware of what's happening in the heavenlies. All you need to do is open your mouth. I should say, open your heart.
Be aware of your heart, too.
Yeah, and just say,
what's it saying?
Be open for truth.
Yeah.
Just be open for truth.
Hi, Father. You know, let us learn how to worship you and glorify your name today.
Yeah.
You see?
Right.
And show me your ways. Teach me your ways. I want to know you more.
Yes.
And be open for it, because he'll answer.
Because the more you know his ways, the more peace and joy that is put on you, and you have a life. Mm-hmm. You can actually start enjoying yourself. There's the fear and worry and anxiety are gone. You can sleep at night. You have great sleep. In the morning you wake up, you're refreshed. You're not waking up with burdens. You're not waking up with what you get with the bed with. You wake up refreshed, and you're being transformed. True. And you start looking forward to that every day. And that's, God's a living God. He's not some figure in the sky. He's living, and he's inside of you.
Well, with that being said, we've been having the red light glowing, and I hope Jim can splice this tape and make it happen for us, for our listeners. But with all that being said, we're going to have to end it for our listeners.
We'll be back Sunday.
We'll be back Sunday, and we'll also be back Wednesday, again, with our roundtable discussion.
Same bad time, same bad channel. Hey,
on Wednesday, we were able to communicate back and forth and you know, talk about these subjects through three different viewpoints, but yet the same truth. One waters, one plants, and God gives the increase. So,
you know, also look for us on Facebook, because we are putting stuff on Facebook, and then also tune into our website, which that's how you're probably listening to us in the first place.
Yeah, and I have to work on my Facebook. Because I post mostly on my private page than I do on the Facebook page, but we do have a Facebook, which I got to get more active on.
Yeah.
I think Rachel shares your stuff on the page.
I think so, yeah.
Well, I want to give special thanks to Rachel and Jim Franklin. Yeah. Always want to honor those two in my life, because they have shown true faithfulness.
Commitment.
And one thing I want them to know publicly, I pray for them all the time.
Yep.
And my father knows me. And I know they pray for me, too, and I feel their prayers. And so, and that's what's beautiful about what we're building here.
And you know what? They're the backbone behind our internet providing. Because they're constantly
making changes
and changing. So we really recognize them.
Yep. And we thank them. And we know that God will reward them, whether these rewards are revealed on this earth or revealed for their afterlife. I know that Jim is going to be well maintained. He has a house being prepared for him right now. I know Rachel will be there with him, and they'll all be like happy-go-lucky in there.
Yep.
And it'll be a
with their doggies.
Yeah, with their doggies. And it'll be a glorious time in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen.